I should just leave it. It's out of. This thing, just leave it in. Good.
All right.
I must say, this is truly unbelievable. In my, you know, when Ritzi called me, thank you, Tyler. When Ritzi called me and invited me to come, so besides her using the truth and excuses and trying to get out of it, he described that, you know, we have a community and a whole community, and you know, I can tell you that really I consider myself one of the founders of the Kollel here, because I was sitting in Lakewood Yeshiva, I don't know if it was 17, 18 years ago, what is it?
14
years ago?
No.
15. I was learning with Avram Danziger, first day, the Friday
morning. That was 17.
It was a Friday morning, and we were learning first aid then, and someone came over and pulled him out, and I said, where you going? We're middle learning. He says, yeah, there's someone here, someone from Florida. Yeah, it's not Nageya. It's fine. I'm just going to go and make him happy and mechazik him. And I said, okay, no problem. Enjoy yourself. Mechazik yid. I wouldn't even go to Florida to be mechazik yid. So the rest is history. And Rabbi Avram was my chavrusa, and Zelda Pervalsky sat next to us, and I think you're mocha from the chavura. And then, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Blazer, who was sat next to in Lakewood, and it's truly a kavod to be here. But I'm honestly very amazed at what's going on over here. It's really unbelievable. So why did I come? Whatever crazy Michigan that comes on the first night of Hanukkah away from his family. I'll tell you the truth. So first, he called me and I told him he wanted me to come Thursday. I said Friday, and then again, I'm not flying Friday. And they call me back, we will do it Wednesday night. So I Mori Rabbi is Rabban Segel. And I remember that Rabban once came, I think, to speak here. And being quite a close Talmud of Rabban, I follow him around and I know where he goes. And he doesn't really go very often to such places. And the fact that he came, it meant something to me. But okay, fine, he came. So I asked him. But Rabbi called me, I sent him a message, I asked him the question, and he told me to come. So Rabban says, go, you go. So Tadi stated them. It says two things in this. First of all, the godless of what's going on over here. You know, that Rabban would send someone the first night of Hanukkah away from his family to come. That itself is amazing. But also, the amount of people here that are looking to be inspired, that want to connect with their Rebbeinu Shlomo, that want to come closer, that want to gain from Hanukkah, it's really very, very unique, very profound, and very meaningful. Alright. B'shus d'Rashi Kollel, the Rabbanim, I see. It's like so many people, I'm like overwhelmed by the amount of people that I know here. Hanukkah is really a magical time. It's not as cold in Florida as it is in Lakewood or the North, but when you come out of your car and it's freezing cold outside, and this week in Lakewood it's absolutely freezing, and you go inside into the warm home, and those Hanukkah lech, that there's no way that a guy could ever understand the feeling and meaning and inspiration that one gains from just looking at those lech, even before you get into the Lamed Vav Shois of the Ohr HaGanuz, just looking at the lech without tifa machshavas, you see the flickering flames that are dancing in front of us and inspiring and igniting our neshamas in a way that nothing else can do. It's magical. It's like a fairy tale land of chalomus, of dream. It's like something very unique and very special. And the challenge is how to make those unique feelings, the sense that's within all of us, that there's something very special going on over here that may seem hidden, that may be hidden, that's bottled up in something, waiting to be pricked and explode, and enter our neshamas, mikoyach alapoyel, and inspire us, and allow us to come closer to their Ribono Shel Olam, and bring us closer in the messages of Hanukkah. There's so many pieces to understand. How do we make it practical? How do we make it meaningful? How do we make it real? Rabbi, say you started on a very good light over here, because it looks more like a Purim Masiba than a Hanukkah Masiba. And Hal Vayda, as Rabbi Blazer mentioned, is the essence of the Yom. So you're on a good road. But let's take this path a little further and understand the essence of what we're doing on Hanukkah. And how do we get inspired? And how do we create a meaningful understanding and a meaningful way of when the Hanukkah is over, feeling that we talk have taken and we talk have grown and we have been inspired in the way that we'd like to be inspired. The pasuk tells us the haaretz ha'isasayu v'voyu v'choshech al pnei sahayim. There was darkness in the world in the beginning of creation. And Chazal tell us, choshech zu yavon, that the darkness of the world represents galus of yavon, the Greeks, when they took over Klal Yisrael and challenged them and challenged our ruchnius and challenged our ability to live al pi Torah, to learn Torah, challenged Kedushas Yisrael, challenged everything that we feel holy, they challenged in the strongest ways. Choshech Yavon is a terminology of darkness, of night. That's what Chazal tell us. And the pasuk says, Toshes Choshech V'Hilayla, Etzim, nighttime is described as darkness. There are places in the world that are not dark at night. Hagam, that's the general teva, is that it's dark at night, but there are such a musik of nighttime without darkness. Without getting into the halacha ramifications of those places. Just come to Florida, you don't gotta go to Amsterdam, it's not good. Laila is choshech. Laila is yavon, choshech is yavon. What is it about the night time that we light these candles dafka at night, that they flicker at night, that they inspire us at night? What's the night time? What's the representation of night time? These weeks, these parshias, miketz, vayeshev, miketz, vayigash, the shlaka that puts them together in one as one parsha in a sefer. And the general theme of these parshias is very much chalomos, dreams. Nighttime is when people dream. In the parasha it says, the dreams of the nighttime are the dreams that are recognized in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu, Chazal say that the sun set, that he should have his nevuah in his dream. It's dreams of the nighttime. And these dreams are dreams of Yosef HaTzadik's dreams, and Yaakov's dream are dreams of the Golos. They're the dreams. Yaakov Avinu dreamt of the four Goliaths. Yosef HaTzadik had these dreams of Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim without understanding exactly what they were, but they were the Nevuah, as the Ramban describes it, of Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim and ultimately the Golos of Mitzrayim. I saw a Murray de Gemaisa. There's a Yid in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Zamir Kain. Anyone ever heard of him? He Dabrut, I've heard of him. Okay.
He was here.
Everyone makes it to Florida. Look at
this. In the winter.
I was here in the summer. And Rav Zamir Kain said an unbelievable story. He gives speeches to all sorts of crowds. And he was one time giving a speech about chalomos, about dreams. And a woman came over to him afterwards. She's a very well-known journalist, a non-Orthodox journalist in Eretz Yisrael. And she came to his speech on chalomos, on dreams. And she went over to him afterwards and said, "You're probably wondering why I'm here." She wasn't the friendliest of people to people, the likes of Rav Zamir Kain, or his family, or his chevra. And she showed up at this speech. What's she doing here? She doesn't want to necessarily a piece of journalism on dreams. What's going on? She said, I'll tell you the story. One night, she went to sleep and she had a dream, like many people. Don't get scared, everybody say. The Gemara says, David Chalem is Lamad, learn the reading. The whole sugi about this. We're going to learn this from him in the Chalem one day. But this is the Maisa, amazing Maisa. She went to sleep and she had a dream. And in the dream, there were three older Yidden, from Yidden Rabbanim with long white beards, sitting across the table from her. And she tells them, Rabbis, I got nothing to do with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Get out of here. What are you doing here? So they start yelling at her. And they say, go save your daughter. Your daughter's in danger. So she's like shooken up. But she says, I don't talk to people like you. Go back home. Don't bother me. Go save your daughter. She's in danger. Run. Go save your daughter. And then she wakes up. So she was shaken up enough. She jumps out of bed. And she runs to her daughter's room. And there's a little fire starting to burn in her daughter's room. And she pulls her daughter out of bed and runs out of the house and saves her daughter's life. And she tells Rav Cohen, she says, I went from university to university to university, speeches about dreams and dreams and dreams, and they're all nothing. It's empty. It's nice speeches. Talk nicely. They may be a little bit more capable of saying the right words. Empty. It's nothing in there. I came to hear, I figured, my last resort is coming to hear from you talk about it. Now I understand what it means to have a dream. We go through parashiyos of chalomos. We need to be like this woman. What's going on? Why are these nevuos davka in chalomos? Yosef HaTzadik, there's no other way Hashem can give him a nevuah other than a chalom. Yaakov Avinu's nevuah about Klal Yisrael's entire asidus is in a dream. Yaakov had other nevuos as well. Davka, this nevuah is in a dream. What is it about dreams? What's the essence of a dream? And how does it tie back in to Choshech Zuyavim? The Rambam says, a well-known Rambam, that mitzvahs ner chanukah chaviv hi ad moy. Everyone's shaking their heads. Everyone's familiar with this Rambam, I see. Chaviv hi ad moy. It's very, very beloved. I am not a Bucky in Rambam, but I've never come across another Rambam with this terminology. Chaviv hi ad moed. What's, it's a wonderful thing. There's other mitzvahs in the Torah, and Chazal created other mitzvahs as well. It's a beautiful yomtiv. What is it about the Ner Chanukah that's Chaviv hi ad moed? And Chaviva means beloved. Beloved means emotional. Emotional connection, love. There's an emotional connection there. Every part of Yiddishkeit should really have emotional connection. If we understand and appreciate and have inspiration and meaning when we do things, everything would be chavav, would be beloved, would be connecting. What is it about Hanukkah that's more connecting than anything else? What is the Rambam telling us over here? The main actors, if we call it that, in the story of Hanukkah are the Hashanoim, the Maccabees. The term Maccabee goes back very, very far. The Gaon brings, I believe, from the Tikkuni Zohar, if I'm not mistaken, that Maccabee, it's well known, many of us are taught this in school, that it stands for the words Mi Chamoicha Ba'elim Hashem. Mem Kaf Beit Yod, Mi Chamoicha Ba'elim Hashem. The Shlach HaKadosh brings that it references also Baruch Kevoit Hashem Ben Kaimai. That means the Maccabees, the essence, as we know the name, as it says by other Marishan when he called the animals names, the name represents the essence of the person. And if Chazal are referring to the Maccabees as Maccabee, with this Mi Chamoicha Ba'elim Hashem, whatever stories you heard when you were children and when you were older about the Maccabees on their shields, they had this puzzle, didn't have this puzzle. But there definitely is a reference to this. What is it about these Chashmonoim that these are the psukim that reference the Chashmonoim? And Chanukah itself is represented, the Yontif of Chanukah is represented by these people. And it's very interesting to note because really Chanukah is made up of many different stories. There wasn't a short span of time, and there's really numerous parts of Chanukah. Number one, there was a Gzeiras Shmad. They tried to destroy Klal Yisrael in Ruchnius. There was also a milchama, a war which was impossible to win. Then we had the miracle of Shem and the miracle of the oil that lasted 8 days. And finally, the Chanukas HaMizbeach, Chanukas HaMishkan, that the Beis HaMikdash, that Klal Yisrael and the Kohanim together rebuilt and purified and fixed up the Beis HaMikdash to a way that they were able to experience once again the Kedusha and Tahara that comes with the Beis HaMikdash. Who were the actors, don't mind the term, in all these things? The same people, the Kohanim. You could have had the Florida, the North Miami Beach Kailo for the war. You could have had the Chais, another Kailo, fight the Xeris Hashmad. The Shemen could have been pressed with someone else. Well, the Maccabees did everything themselves. It's interesting, it's unique. They were the ones in everything. They were the ones that fought, did everything. They did the war, everything was them. And they weren't a big group of people. They, as a matter of fact, most of Chais was against them. We see here that the Maccabees, this Micha Moicha Ba'ilam Hashem, is something that translates who the Maccabees were and how the miracles of Hanukkah happened, and that we have to learn from them what we can take from Hanukkah and inspire ourselves to take out from Hanukkah and grow from those flickering flames that we're talking about. I heard once a story. There's a Yid in Brooklyn, official shachter. Heard of him? Yeah. You never came here?
He was here.
He's here. In the winter.
Yeah, the house here is sale. You definitely have one here for sale. So I heard a mice of men. Some of you may have heard this story. It's because I didn't say it over anyways. The official shachta has, Baruch Hashem, a large family. And one time, Chol HaMoed, his wife was trying to cook. And he did what many Yidden Barabak do. Got in the car and drove to JFK. You know the JFK is over here? It's an airport in the Far Rockaway area. And, what is it? And he took his kids on something called the monorail. The monorail is like a train that goes around and around and around, like a dreidel. It's spinning, goes around and around and around, goes around there, but around there. And it works well for Jews because it's free. And you come and you have a whole Chol HaMoed trip, and the kids are thrilled. You run on the train, and it's Erev Yom Tov, and your wife said, "Everyone say, it works, come on, look, see, you got on the monorail." So he's going around and around, and terminal to terminal to terminal. And one time he's sitting down, his kids are enjoying themselves, and into the train comes a pilot. Now, I spent some time studying pilots. I was in Chicago last week, but I took about H3, and I met a whole group of pilots. And I also looked at the cops have stripes. The pilots have stripes also. You notice that? I'm sure kids, that's not a sugya for now. That goes with the other sugya. But Al-Kapanam, a pilot came, I don't know how many stripes he had, and he sits down next to him, and he says, I don't know what terminology, probably not Shalom Aleichem. Hello, said hello. Rabbi Shabbat is a very, very friendly guy. How are you? Good. Where are you coming from? China, please. Where are you coming from? Bonaparte. Good, very nice, thank you. Where are you going? Bonaparte. Okay, what brings you here? So I said, I'll tell you the truth. You know, we have the holiday now, and what do you say? I didn't say that so fast. We have a holiday, and Baruch Hashem, I have a family of kids. Look, these kids jump around over here. And my wife's trying to cook. And we're looking for something that's free. And we decided, let's go on the monorail. So we came to the monorail. So he says, you came from Barra Park to ride the train around and around, and you go back to Barra Park? Yeah, that's what we did. And the pilot told him something so profound. It's maybe Shechem and Besh Tadrini. He said, You are different than me. In many ways, but he only said one way. Me, what do? I fly around the whole world. China, Mexico, Florida, Eretz Yisrael, Egypt, everywhere. I go everywhere in the world. And I travel and I travel and I go everywhere. But really, I'm going nowhere. Nowhere. You're going nowhere. But you're really going everywhere. Such a profound statement about Yiddishkeit. A Yid could be in his Dalet Am is going nowhere, but we're going everywhere. Because the whole world rests upon us. And every action we do Every step we take, every move we make, every word we say affects the entire universe. And the world stands upon us. And this pilot come from China somehow understood that. That's the message of Micha Moicha Ba'elam Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shloilam is our compass. Our compass focuses on the Rebbeinu Shloilam and coming closer to Him. The Baron Leib Steinman's Yotzai was today. The Baron Leib famously asked Rabbi Shlomo Soloveitchik, what's the Yid's goal in life? And he said, to be Merkava L'Shechina, that means to exist entirely and only with the Rebbeinu Shloilam. That every move, that every step, that every word I do is how will I connect more with the Rebbeinu Shloilam and become more connected and become closer and grow myself and my family to bring closer to the Rebbeinu Shloilam. That's Micha Moicha Ba'elam Hashem. That's Baruch Kavoy Hashem in Kaimai. That's what the Maccabees represented. So how do we focus our compasses on the Rebbeinu Shloilam? What's the practice? Very nice. Shane, right? Good. Thank you for coming, Rabbi, from Lakewood. What do we do? What's the action of what we say? There's a new, I don't know if it's new, there's a safer. I learned with one of my chavrin novas in the end of Shamsha Bal Hirsch. They put up, I think it's new. Maybe by these guys, even like 50 years old, it's new. But anyways, no offense to anyone who's an ankle, man. I love them. The Hakabanim, it says at the end of every shtick, it says takeaway. This is a takeaway. So what's the takeaway? Tachlis, Lamaisa. What do we do practically? The Tivu Kol Hashmanim. What did the Yevanim do? They didn't pour out the oil. They didn't destroy the oil. The Tivu Kol Hashmanim. They defiled. They contaminated spiritually the Shmanim. They took the oil that represents Torah, that represents the menorah, that represents Yiddishkeit, the flickering magical flames that we're talking about in the Beis Hamikdash, Chiloilu and Tzaris, and they defiled it and made them Tameh. And what they were doing was, the Maral explains,
I can say Maral. Even without drinking?
There's a drink you can say better about us.
The Maral explains that the Yevanim believed in the human race. The human race is the most powerful item in the world. The minds of the humans, the brains of the humans, the inventions of the human, the ideas of the human, thought processes of the human is the greatest and highest level we can reach. And us as Yidden, as we know from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, famous thing, I'm not sure if it's true, but it's famous anyways. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein once said, someone accused him of having Deus Kaisvis. And he said, everything I know and everything in my entire brain and my heart all comes from Torah. How do I know? Because I never looked at anything in the world other than Torah. And our lives, even if we're not Rav Moshe Feinstein, our lives are lived al pi chokhmas haTorah. Torah trains us and gives us that moral compass to come close to the Rebbeinu Shloilam. And the Limud haTorah, and Achzakas haTorah, and Avas haTorah, and Kesher haTorah connect a person in the deepest way, as the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about, that the deepest connection to the Rebbeinu Shloilam is Das Hashem, Das Elokim, which is Torah. I did not come from Lakewood to give you a speech to learn Torah. That wasn't my idea. But I want to tell you something amazing. I have a friend whose daughter got married recently. He told me that I don't know if it was right before or right after his daughter's chasana, he's a man of means. He took out his checkbook and gave his daughter a check for $50,000. And he told her as follows. This is not for a house. This is not for wine. It's that you should have menucha senefesh. This is a menucha senefesh check. And their conversation didn't go so easily. You know, she didn't like say, great, thanks, Tom. Not sure why. But he was described.
She wanted more Beruchas HaNefesh.
Maybe 50 grand comes in the price tag. He's a very nice guy. But which normal person with a good relationship with their parents would say no to such a thing? Gotta be crazy, right? 50 grand. How many Shabbos suits could you have in Maladafna? 50 grand. You know? And those are Maladafna, yeah. Did you ever Maladafna? Nach Meinstein never came in?
He did. He was
here last week.
I give up, that's it. Okay, all right. The Rebbeinu Shalom is giving every one of us a check for a lot more than $50,000 today. Chanukah has within it the inspiration and the ability to connect on immeasurable heights. Immeasurable heights. My Rebbe Yevdon Segel, it was the day Rebbein Leib Shteinman was nifta. He was very close to the Rebbein Leib. And Rebbein Leib was nifta, as we just mentioned, Erev Chanukah. And he sent in a question to Eretz Yisrael, he was in America at the time, if he should raise Kriya. And the tshuva he got back was after Chatzais that he should raise Kriya. And for Avdon not to raise Kriya on Rebbein Leib probably was very painful. But he said, I feel already the Hashbois of Chanukah. I can't. Someone that's living with the moral compass, with the moral thermometer, to be able to feel, to sense the Kedusha, the ability, the nuclear connection that a person able to gain through Chanukah can sense that themselves. But we know it, we have a Kabbalah for our tzaddikim about this tremendous ability. Everyone here is zoche to live some of the Mishkan Yachanu. I'm not sure how far the community expands. I asked someone over here how many people live in the community. No offense to anyone here. Hello, everyone. It's not about 300, the guy next to me. No, it's not 300. It's more, it's less. No. On my block,
there's
1,000
families.
Oh, 1,000 families. All right. 1,001. It's the taco roll.
You're 1,001.
Yeah, it has. Take me seriously to get online. No, I really feel like Lakewood. Everyone lives sub in the Mishkan Yachanu. I don't know in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Either you're the Rosh Koyel, Paiskim, Avrechei Koyel, Chavrei Koyel, Oyhavei Koyel, Mespalei Koyel. Everything ends with Koyel. It's like Eisenbach in Yerushalayim. I'm an Eisenbach Yenipo, by the way. Yeah, you could throw a rock at me. Those of you that know the joke. And you're zeichet to have that deep connection to Torah, naturally. Some of you may invest more energy, more effort into it, but you're naturally connected to Amakim Torah, Amakim Kaddish. You walk in here, I'm telling you, I'm not just making you feel good. I don't have to say this. You can literally feel it in the air. You really could. It's really amazing. It's really, truly, truly amazing. Look at that Torah Shulchan Aruch. How many years old is that? Huh? How many years? Can't be too old. Think about that long ago. Very old? 14 years?
Five years.
Maybe 5 years old. Unbelievable. You feel the Kedusha, you feel it. You mamash feel it in here. It's amazing. That means you have that connection to Torah. You have that ability. The goal of this Chanukah, our goal of this Chanukah within the next 8 days, is to up it a drop. And I mean the following. I was on a plane a week and a half ago, as I mentioned, from Chicago. Rav Uri Deutsch, was he here? You miss it, forget it. Rav Uri Deutsch, those of you that don't know him are missing out. But he came to Chicago. I'm very close. I can't say very close. I'm as close as the very last you get. And he, for some reason, does not have TSA pre or clear. Now, everybody else that went to that H3, I guess, had TSA pre and or clear. So we were all in the plane.
And someone comes running over to me, and he says, "Rory's not in the plane." I said, "Rory's in the flight." "He's not in the flight." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I saw him waiting on the line." I said, "Okay, so you want to stop the plane? What do you want to do exactly?" So he said, "Maybe." I said, "Rory deserves it. So I'm not going to go to stop the plane if I don't know." So I called him. He didn't pick up. Called him again. He didn't pick up. I called him a third time. Finally, he picks up. And he says, I say, "Where are you?" So he says, I'm by the gate. But they must have switched my boarding pass, and it doesn't go in, and they're not letting me on the plane. So then I said, okay, that I committed to Kishnah. Nobody said, well, I don't really want to do it. What are you there for? I went over to the stewardess, and I said, "Our chief rabbi's here. You see all those guys with hats or whatever we were over there? All the Jews here? Yeah, we didn't come for a free monorail ride. We came for a plane ride. Our chief rabbi's outside the door. You can't leave him here. We're not going." So she started banging on the door, and she called the pilot, and they called the Maisa. What really happened was that they took on, I know because the seat next to me was empty, they put it in, they took on another, they have these, you know, if you're part of the airline, you come on for free. They took on someone, and the seat was taken. That's really what happened. But I come on, and they tried, and we left without a worry. And he made it back to the ground next flight. But what was the lesson? Rav Uri may have been the greatest Talmid Chacham on the plane. Probably was. I didn't know who else on the plane, so I can't say for sure. Probably was. But he missed the plane. So he didn't get back to Lakewood for another hour. Terrible. If you make the plane, then you'll end up in Lakewood. I mean Florida, sorry. If you make the plane, you'll end up there. The goal is to get on the plane. When a person takes that step in the right direction, whatever that is, it doesn't mean when I ask to become a Chaim Kenyasti overnight. Take that step in the right direction on Chanukah, because Chanukah is the time that the gates are open. Chanukah is the time that the Hashpois are here. Chanukah is the time that Rebbeinu Shlomo is giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and Limud HaTorah in particular, because that's what they were fighting. And that's what the Hashmonaim and the Maccabees fought against. And we're making an effort to save Limud HaTorah and the connection to Torah. So grab that opportunity. Don't waste the 50 grand that Rebbeinu Shlomo, your father, is giving you $50,000. Don't be silly. Take it. Do something. Gotta get back to dreams, then we'll close. What's a dream? A dream is a reality within a non-reality. Or a non-reality within a reality, however you want to say it. Chaim Berlin and I. Or how much wine you drink. It feels very real. Sometimes a person in a dream and they wake up in a sweat. Baruch Hashem, was a dream. It felt so real. I was there. It was happening. And then Baruch Hashem, it's over. It's nothing. A dream feels like reality, but it's really non-reality. The entire Golos is defined by dreams. Why? Because Golos, as the Pasuk tells us in Shir HaMaalos, B'Shem Hashem Eshiva Tzion, Hayinu Kecholim, we were dreaming. Golos is a dream. Because it's a non-reality, it's nothing. It's just challenges, Hashem Tzadik Yivcham. It's darkness. But our job is to take the Chanukah menorah and light the flame in the darkness. Listen to recognizing the Rebbeinu Shalom. Recognize your own ability to light up the world. To light up your souls. To light up your families. To light up the entire world. How? By believing, recognizing, Wordman Micha Moicha Ba'elim Hashem. And Baruch Vein Hashem and Kaimai. On living with the Rebbeinu Shalom, Chanukah is the man of Halva Hayda. Hayda, the Chazanish said, is the first Pesach to Emun in the Rebbeinu Shalom. The entire Chaimus of Loves is built on Hayda. When a person remains connected to the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's like anesthesia in today's very often difficult world. We don't feel it because the Kesher with the Rebbeinu Shalom allows a person to grow and connect and be happy throughout all the challenges. The most valuable tool a Yid will ever have is Emuna and Betachan in the Rebbeinu Shalom. There's nothing else that will carry a person through life like Emuna and Betachan in the Rebbeinu Shalom. And it's not black and white. Whatever level a person has, that's how Hashem will shtel too. It's a never-ending avodah, Emuna and Betachan in the Rebbeinu Shalom. But the gates are open for Torah.
and the gates are open for Amun Avichamach Abayim Hashem. Their Bereshit is pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. Open your hands. He's giving. Rav Dutz is over from the Shuster. The Shuster was a well-known, he was known as the Shuster. He was a shoemaker, Rav Yaakov. He was a big Mekobel, Bnei Brak, and Chazanush is a big Mekobel, Brachas. The Shuster told Rav Dutz, the Eibush the gift, the Bereshit always gives. We only need to open our hands. Hashem's giving us, especially on Chanukah these days, days of Ashpois, to connect. Open your hands. Take a step in the right way of Torah, a step in the right way of Emunah. And the Baruch Shalom will pour upon you, you wouldn't believe, the amount of Ashpois. I want to end with a story. There was a Yidden Eretz Yisrael of Yaakov Galinsky. Was he ever here? How do you know? Rav Yaakov Galinsky, I think any of you that have read the book or met him, was the picture and the pinnacle of a happy, go-lucky, jolly, and I can't find many more ways to describe him, the happiest person that ever lived. Just endless jokes and happiness, and it was all great, and everything's great. He happened to have been an Adam Gomlad, Moid, learning. Tremendous, tremendous person. Rav Yaakov Galinsky came from Europe right after the war. And Rachman al-Tzlan, he lost a child in Europe. And he came to the Chazon Ish, broken, entirely broken. And he told the Chazon Ish, I have no interest. I did it. Rav Yaakov Galinsky, what he went through in Europe, in Russia, was unbelievable. That's it. I had enough. That's it. And the Chazon Ish told him an amazing thing. This is the gift for everyone, as he said. A story that there was a family lived in Europe. There was a town in Europe, for those of you that had grandparents that were European, called Leipzig. Leipzig was the example of a fear of a town, of a. They used to have once here, they had these shuk, I don't know what they call them, they had called in English, a marketplace. They did business for a year there. And there was a wealthy Yid who used to go there for a year, bring his fortune there, buy right away a bunch of things on sale, and throughout the week he would sell them and make a fortune for the year and live off that money. One year he wasn't well, and he sent his wife instead. And his wife says, I don't know my tooth from my nails to my head and business what he's sending me, so I don't have a choice. Shabbos, you going? Okay. She went. And she comes there, and she walks, and she's overwhelmed, and she's She didn't buy one thing, she didn't sell one thing, nothing. She did one thing. She lost her pocketbook with all the money for the year inside. And she was very, very broken. And she comes back to the hotel and she goes running back to the marketplace. And there's someone, a Yid, holding her purse, said, that's mine, thank you. And he says, it's mine now. So she says, what do you mean? It's mine, look, it's mine. She says, yeah, but we're in the majority of people there are non-Jews. You are Miyayish, clearly Miyayish. It's mine. And they're fighting. And someone says, why don't you go to the Rav? So go to the Rav. And the Rav starts asking her, what is this? And she says, the whole story. So the Rav says, whose money is it? So she says, it's my husband's. Her husband sends it every year. He comes and says, so he tells the person, whose money do you say? He says, it was his, but right now she's with me. Now it's mine. So the Rav said, and it's a clever Rav. It's not hers. It's his. She can't be Miyayish now. Miyayish doesn't work. It's her money. Give it back there. Go make business. Shalom Yisrael. Zot the Chazon Ish to Rav Yaakov Galinsky. Your neshama, your life, your spirituality, your destiny, your family is not yours. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom's. You don't have the ability to be miyayish on yourself. It's not your neshama. Lekai neshama shenasatabi tahayrihi. It's not yours. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom's. You can't be miyayish. Rav Yaakov Galinsky went on to become the jolliest, happiest, most frailich a person that was mashpia on thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Why? Because he didn't give up on his ability to grow and be happy and remain steadfast in belief in the Rabbeinu Shalom and connection to him throughout thick and thin, no matter what happened in his life. Rabbi Yisai, it's Hanukkah. Our neshama is not ours to leave go of and drop. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom's. It's our responsibility to take advantage of this tremendous opportunity that we're here for, and gain, and grow, and try, as all we can do in life is try, and the Siyata Dishmaya will all together come. The dreams, the nightmares will be ending,
and the Mitzvah will go with the Mashiach Tzakeinu, Amen.